Okay.
It's quite
well. I don't know if that'll work. I wrote at the top of my page when I started taking notes and then stopped. I wrote, living in darkness. And I think the reason is, I think all of us, to whatever degree, are kind of, you know, I'm reeling. You know, like you wake up on a Sunday morning, you hear just very, very difficult news. And there was a saying that we had in the rabbinic world that these things go in threes. And so there was a second one. What was the second one?
I heard two Sunday mornings.
Yeah, you know, and then last night we were at a shiva house of a very, very young. Young woman, a 32-year-old woman who passed away. She was sick for a long time. And I must say, each of us have our own personal response to these things. Then you have a lot, you know, I found sitting in the shiva house very, very difficult. Because, you know, what I normally respond to these things, people have this response, this need to make people who suffer, make people who perish, who die young, into tzaddikim. Into, you know, they were so righteous, they were so special, they were so unique. And I try to resist that. Because I think that in some way, when we do that, we're trying to find a way to explain theologically or to say to ourselves how this could have happened, to rationalize it. Correct. And so I said, oh, you know, they were this tzaddik, they were this incredible person, which is probably true, but I mean, there's a limit. Meaning, and what I got out of, you know, this person, I said to Rina, I said it kind of strongly, and maybe I said it too strongly. I said, no, she was just normal. You know what I'm saying? She was a normal mother of two young children who tried to live a life as normal as best she could, try to navigate this terrible situation she was in. And I think that scares us more.
Yeah, but these experiences make you into a special person. Maybe you were normal before, but if you're going through an experience where you're dying,
I don't know. It
elevates you. How can it not?
Yeah, interesting question. And the reason I bring this up is because, like, I always sort of fear when we come to these parshiyot, especially when it's a leap year, and then I have to deal with each one individually, like, you know, Tazria and Mitzora, because the topic of Tazria and the topic of Mitzora is basically Tzarat, and then more Tzarat. And if all goes well in Mitzora, then after we talk about Tzarat, then you get to Zav, you know, and whatever that is. And the reason why I struggle with it to a large degree is, Gwenny, can you hit that second light on the left-hand side, just the left one, thank you, is, as much as that helped, is, well, you know, it's our Israeli life fixtures that we've installed, is because to a large degree, we have no idea what's going on in this parashiyot. And I struggle with it each year. You know, it's one thing to say, okay, the korbanot and this kind of korban and that kind of korban and the mishkan. That's very, you know, like, it's esoteric, but we try to find meaning in it. But here we're dealing with, as we're going to see, some details that we don't really understand. And then, in vivid detail and vivid description, a disease to which we have no relationship whatsoever, no understanding whatsoever, and we don't even see it. It doesn't even exist today. Or it exists. We have no idea of identifying it. We don't keep it. We don't anything at all. So how are we supposed to relate to an entire parsha of things to which we don't understand? And I think that these two questions that we deal with, I think, are interrelated in a sense. And maybe my goal today is to share together, really, because I feel bad if I don't have good answers, but I'm telling you in advance, I don't have great answers to these questions. I wish I had the answers, but if I had the answers, then we'd all have the answers. To share how much, meaning at least through the prism of the parsha, how much we're missing. Like what we don't know. You know what I'm saying? It should concern us the same way it concerns us. Yeah. The same way it concerns us that we have no idea what Tzaraat is. Right? We should identify the same way, the way we don't understand how a young parent, how a 40-year-old man or a 30-year-old woman could suffer, could be lost without any understanding whatsoever. And I think that focusing on that, I think to some degree, focusing on today on what we don't have or what we don't understand about Tazria, it might be useful, it might be informative, even if it's not necessarily happy. We'll put it that way. Okay, so we'll start with the beginning of the parsha. We'll do a little bit. We're not going to do Tzaraat, really, because Tzaraat, I think I talked about it last year. We're going to talk about the beginning of Tazria, which we can relate to. And my goal is to try to show us just how much we even as the things we do relate to, we still have no idea what's going on, even in the things that we do know. Okay, so let's begin in the parasha. We'll ask a few very interesting questions about the text, and then also about the details, and then we'll use my cool visual aids that nobody even noticed or commented on.
What is this roll doing on the table?
What is the roll doing on the table? You know what this is? You know what this is from?
Your garden?
What? From my garden. Somehow, next to my house, wheat started growing. They get blown all over the place, but in my house, and it's really cool. That's right. Something about the wheat, I think, is awesome. I don't know. Just
bread and wheat.
Yeah, you know,
gluten intolerance.
What?
Gluten intolerance.
Gluten intolerance. That's what you think of immediately. You know, something about the. We'll see. And okay. Some of us are visual learners. What'd you say? It's a cycle of life?
It's a cycle of life.
Yeah, very interesting. Okay, but if I show Michelle more.
Seeds.
What?
Just some wheat.
That's right. Daber, and I think, by the way, you know, there's a lot of this, and we're going to, the cycle of life is very interesting that you say that. We'll come back. We'll come back to the cycle of life in a few minutes. Daber b'nei Yisrael lemor, isha ki tazria v'yalda zachar. If a woman, when she tazria, zera,
seed.
That's right. I have to. Can I tell the story?
No. It's embarrassing to her.
Okay, I don't want to tell the story. It's so cute, though. Okay. V'yalda zachar.
That's not fair.
Okay, yeah. There was a certain person in our shul, an anonymous, who had to do a parasha project.
What?
Okay, so she came home. It was so cute. She came home without asking her parents, and she arranged with her friends. And she said, oh, I'm going to do a parasha project. So they planned this whole project about seeds. What's this going to do? This seed, I'm going to bring an apple seed, and you're going to bring a, you know, banana seed, whatever. And then when she came home, she said, what? A game plan with seeds. And then her mother came home and said, what are you doing? She said, I'm planning, because we have to do the parsha activity for this week. And the mother had to explain to her that Isha Tazria was not about seeds. It was about women giving birth. It's very cute. Isha ki Tazria v'yalda zachar v'tam'a shivat yamim. A woman who is Tazria, who shall give forth seed. What does it really mean?
Pregnant?
No. Tazria. Reproduce. She produces. It's just right, she gives birth. But then it says she Tazria, she becomes, it's interesting,
implanted,
she becomes, she ki Tazria, if she will, become inseeded. Like, it's very unusual, that I'm just pointing out that difficulty in the translation emphasizes
well,
difficulty of the language.
In her, right?
Why is it unusual language?
They don't normally talk that. That's the word they
usually. Right, isha ki harta, ki harata. Okay, the idea of tazria. What does that? What does that imply? What is that language? What is that?
Well, a seed gets implanted.
Very earthy. Very
nature.
Yeah. Isha ki tazria. But it's also very impersonal. I should say isha ki telid. If a woman gives birth. The idea of ki tazria, it really is very much, like I wouldn't think of, what?
Passive.
Technical. Right, medical. Isha ki tazria, v'yalda zachar. V'tam'a shiv'at yamim, as she shall become impure for 7 days. Ki mei nidat devota titma. Also, difficult language. If you don't mind opening that, because I need the English. I like the different Englishes. No, you can have it. Okay? You don't want it? You're not in that mood. You just want to listen today? Okay. I downed you. I got you. I really...
Sorry.
It's okay. I'm sorry to depress you. Sometimes the parsha here emanates... No, I had nothing to do with it. Tazria Yud Bet. The beginning of Tazria Yud Bet. Okay? This language is a little difficult to translate. Sometimes the parsha here just goes from what's going on. You know what I'm saying? I think... you have it? Okay. She's tame for 7 days. The days of nidat devota. Nida we know, right? Nida, her nida devota. What did the scroll give you?
The impurity of her sickness.
Her impurity of her sickness.
Sickness.
Devota titma. She shall be impure. What did the scroll give you?
Unclean.
She shall be unclean, right.
Unclean.
Bet.
It's not a sickness.
A woman who...
Infirmity shall
be contaminated. So what's infirmity? Another way of saying? Sickness. Right. So, okay. They're just nicer about it. And they're trying to editorialize, not to tick you off. Okay? She's impure for 7 days. Ubayom hashmini, and on the 8th day, yimol b'sar or lato. Right? What do you do? Brit Mila, yafe. Ushloshim yom, ushloshet yamim, teshei b'dmei tohora. For 33 days, she sits in blood of purity. B'chol kodesh lo tiga, but she can't touch anything that's kodesh, that's kadosh. Ve'ela mikdash lo tavo, she can't go to the Beit HaMikdash, ad mula'ot yamei tohora, until the days of her purity are complete. Ve'im nekevat elein, but if she gives birth to a girl, ve'tam ashvu'ayim kenidata. What?
A maid child.
What are you?
A maid child.
A maid child. Now you're into the translation. Okay, a female. In the case, no, but the literal translation. If she gives birth to a female, then she is impure for how long?
For 2 weeks.
14 days. But then she is pure for how long? 66 days. Okay, so just the lengths, you notice right away, the lengths are?
Double.
Okay? She's tamei for a boy, if she gives birth to a boy for 7 days, but she's tahor for 33 days. She's tamei if she gives birth to a girl for 14 days. She's tahor for? 66 days. Sum total for a boy, 40 days, and for a girl, 80. Do the math, right? 66 plus 14, 80 days. Right? What is 40 connotation of, interestingly enough? When do we see the idea of 40?
Moshe went up for 40 days.
The cycle of life is very much dependent on 40 days, right? Moshe went up 40 days.
20s, 3 months of 40.
Very good. The Mabul was for 40 days. What's another very important? Spirit of Omer is 49.
40 years, right? They were in the desert.
Very good, right?
40 weeks of pregnancy.
Although
40 days after.
Correct. The halacha is very important. Halacha that after conception. For 40 days, the vlad is not considered viable. It's not even considered a human being.
Right.
Right? The spirituality after 40 days. So there's
also 40 days between like Yom Kippur and Hanukkah or something.
There's 40 days between the beginning of Elul and Yom Kippur.
What the Medrash?
Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the Har Sinai for 40 days.
What are the right. Miracles of Tuma?
Oh, 40. What about Hicks?
For that's 40. 39. But that's very good.
40,
it's 39, but it's 40. Right. It's 39 Malachot. Right, 39 Malkot, and then in Shabbos,
right.
it's 39
Malachot. 39 levels 39 of B'nai Israel were on the 39
that's 49. Level? That's 49, because that's Sfirah HaOmer.
49?
That's 50, that's counting to 50.
Oh.
Nice try though. What?
In Hillel, when it talks about a man's lifespan is 70 years, but in the Baruch,
80 Shana. So these 40s appear all over the place, okay? But obviously we're and then, let's go on. U'melot yimei let pasuk pav, u'melot yimei tohara, levan o levat, Tavi keves ben shnato leola, o ben yona utor lechatat, el petach o moed al hakohen. You should bring a dove, turtle dove, or a yona, turtle dove, or a partridge, I think.
Keves.
No, where are we? No, el petach o moed al hakohen, you're bringing birds. Oh, keves, I'm sorry, ram, right?
Ram.
And a bird, okay? El petach o moed al hakohen, bikivol lefne Hashem bechiper aleha, and the Kohen brings it before God and atones for her. And purifies her from her
blood.
Right, the fountain, mimekor dameha.
The source
of her blood. Zot torata yoledet la zachar menakeva. This is Torah of the yoledet, she who gives birth, for boy or girl. She can't buy an animal. And then she takes two birds. Okay, we're left with a number of fundamental questions. What are a number of fundamental questions? First and foremost,
why is it different?
Right, what's the difference between a boy and a girl?
That's obvious.
What is the obvious? I mean, the difference between a boy and a girl.
Right,
why? But you could take it, I mean, I don't like assigning value judgments, because you could say, well, on the one hand, she's impure for the double the amount of time, but she's also pure for double the amount of time. Okay, that's the obvious question. Secondary question, right, there's an interesting question here, very interesting contextual question.
But together they make 120.
Right, but you only gave birth to one.
No, but I'm saying the 80 and the 40.
There's another.
Right, but she only gave birth to one of them.
No, but there's more significance.
220?
The 120 and 120 years Moshe lived, and then.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
You should just know that it's interesting to know that the idea of when a man becomes 40, it's considered like a different age or a different sort of mentality, in a sense, that there's life before 40 and life after 40.
I'm hitting
my head up. I'm actually next year.
Right.
I just hit it.
Oh, Madalta.
No,
I'm
done.
But I'm like, it just passed the 40.
Yeah? How is it for you?
It was easier turning 40 than 30.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think we get more
mature. Exactly the point. I think when Kabbalah was big, when Kabbalah was very big, there was a takana, there was like an idea that you shouldn't learn Kabbalah before you're 40.
Yeah.
Why? Because you're not ready for it. You don't have that yeshiva dad. Yeah. I mean, although I'm not up to 40 yet, but I'm not ready for it. Yeah. I'm not, okay. What? Well, I'll make sure to mention that to him. Okay, next question. The next question that they asked that we're not going to address is, why does the woman need kapara? We've talked about that before. Why does she need kapara for her chatan? So you get all kinds of interesting answers. You know, like the things she said during the birth, but it doesn't seem like that. It seems that the essence, the very essence of giving birth requires a chatat. Requires a korban chatat.
And blood is a life force.
Okay. Why does she need sin? But it's a sin, though.
Could it be just
it's not a woman who normally...
No, it's like when you menstruate.
So you could say that that's why she's... you could say that's true, but that's why she's tume'ah. I can understand the tume'ah of nida.
Yeah.
Right, the uncleanliness is called, but it's not really uncleanliness. It's tume'ah. It's tume'ah. It's a ritual impurity of nida. We can accept that.
Just a consequence and not like...
What's the chatat? What's the korban chatat? But the korban chatat means there's a sin offering. Where's the sin? What did she sin?
She didn't.
Right, she didn't sin. She did a great thing. In fact, right, and moreover, it's not even her mitzvah. Mm-hmm. You all know that, right?
Yeah,
it is a mitzvah. Thanks, we all appreciate it. Don't get anybody.
We suffer.
Yes, you do.
We are the korban chatat.
The whole person is really, it's a struggle for the woman. It's not like it's something that's so easy.
It ain't no picnic.
No.
And you still have the octave.
So we imagine, so we hear. I mean, I can't really say, but it doesn't.
Look what you get.
It doesn't seem like a picnic. I don't know. Okay. Well, more interestingly, look at the first, just look at this section, and we'll play that little game of Sesame Street. One of these things is not like the other. What doesn't belong? You don't know that game?
Sorry,
they don't have Sesame Street.
Wait, I'm a foreigner.
I don't understand. They
never had Sesame Street.
Yes,
it's funny. Flemish. We spoke about this the first year, I think.
Okay. About Sesame Street? About this game? Unbelievable. No? Okay, first of all, you're missing something. They don't have Elmo. You don't have. Oh, God. Why? They don't.
Vinny, that's about it.
Sesame Street is a great show. Okay, so what doesn't belong?
Sesame Street, you're mixing times. One of these things is not like the other. Was way before Elmo's time.
They still do it, though. I wouldn't know either. Okay, so what. But we digress. So what doesn't belong? And look at these psukim again. And ask yourself, what doesn't belong?
Sickness.
No, but that's why. In the context, what's the subject of this? This short section. The subject of the short section, you'd say, is
giving birth.
The woman who gives birth. Okay, good.
So
what doesn't belong? No, but we're not into tzara. We didn't get to tzara yet.
Sacrifices.
That's somebody. What?
And sacrifices for giving
that birth. That makes sense. Why? Because it relates to the woman who gives birth.
Right.
What doesn't belong? You'll get it. It'll come to you in a minute. Again, whose korban is that?
You may the bris milah.
Correct. Uvayomash v'ni yimo basar or lato. It's nice. It's important. What's it doing here? It's just kind of thrown in, right? Uvayomash v'ni yimo basar or lato. Why should we? Like, it's very nice to have the bris milah. What does it relate to the discussion that we're having? I see. I have a beautiful shot here from our Führer, which is a very beautiful idea.
By the way, don't forget this.
What? Right, no, right.
Don't forget this on the like,
I mean, and there's also Brit Milah. We had Brit Milah already. Right. So what does it appear in the context of giving birth? Okay, and then finally, I think the Chazal also struggled with the question of the very next section. What's the next section? What? The numbers are very interesting. They're very interesting. Again, I'm going to tell you, I don't have great answers for you. And the Chazal also asked another important question, which is, what's right after this? Right after this section, after this Yoledet, you have like 5, 6 psukim about Yoledet. What do you have right after this? Sarah. Right, you have a long section about Sarah. You have this kind of Sarah of the head, of the body, of the beard, of the eyebrows. not tzarat of the toenails, it's like an unbelievable tzarat, you know what I'm saying? Tzarat of the clothing, tzarat of the house, and then we get into cleansing tzarat, and this tzarat, and that tzarat. What in the world does Yoledet have to do with all that? Like, it's just kind of thrown in there, the Yoledet, the giving birth.
Because maybe the sacrifices that man could exempt from getting tzarat.
It's interesting. Chazal say, some midrashim say that one of the reasons tzarat comes is because, one second, see if we can find it. One second.
I have an idea.
There's a lot of midrashim about that. V'chima inyan tzarat eitzal yoledet. I'm reading a midrash. Amar Rabbi Chanina, tzarat eno ela ba'a midamim mechu'arim. Tzarat comes from impure, from inappropriate blood. Kol isha she'ina mishameret nidata kera'oi goremet she'yilku baneha b'tzarat. Any woman that doesn't keep nida, her children will have tzarat.
Wow. Wow.
What?
Which article?
I remember that, but they do keep the mikvah. The mikvah they do go to, right?
Yes, yes, but yes. They're not keeping a lot of the other stuff, even the coding stuff.
I don't know. Meaning, how do you feel about a midrash like that? It's like very troubling in a sense. But Chazal very much believed in the parents' actions, spiritual actions, affect the children. Ad kidei kach. The Or HaChaim is a long essay, and I'm not going to go into it, I think for tzniut reasons to a large degree. What? He says, wow, one second. He says that the attitude, isha ki tazriya v'yalda, okay, he says, ki ikar ha-leida hu b'shat ha-hazra'a. Right? The essence of the child is determined at the point of hazra'a. Hazra'a means at insemination. At insemination. I.e., the intentions of the parents and the thoughts of the parents affect the children. He says, Ad kidei kach, he says, so interesting, that about Abraham and Sarah, it says, Ve'et ha-nefesh asher asu b'charan. You know, there another pasuk, like the Abraham and Sarah brought with them all the nefesh that they made with Haran. So the pshat of nefesh asher asu b'charan is, the pshat is their servants. The drash is all the people that they converted in Haran, that they brought with them to Eretz Yisrael. The Arachayim says, Heim ha-nefashot she'asu b'zibugam. Right? The nefashot, the souls they created in their coupling, when they lived with each other. I.e., but you'll mention one important thing. What do we know about Abraham and Sarah in Haran? What do we know about them? They didn't have any children. He says, no. Hagam shelo hayta Sarah yoledet. Even if Sarah and Abraham didn't have any children, kol zika v'zika hayu molidim nefashot. Every time they were with each other, they created souls. Yeah. Ad kidei kach. I don't even know what to do with that. You know what I'm saying? It's very lovely. It's very beautiful, but it's like very heavy. You know what I'm saying? So there's this idea that the act of husband and wife being together, that's ki tazria. That it's not just ki tazria, it's v'yalda. That's very important. It's very significant, and that's the connection between the isha yoledet and the zav and the mitzvah in a sense. Okay. I also want to point out something very important. We have no idea today, and that's another thing we don't know. We don't know tzarat, right? We don't understand the korbanot. There's another thing the Torah points out. There's something called dmei tahara and dmei tuma, right? Tamei blood and tahor blood.
Yeah.
You notice that. Okay. Nowadays, right? If a woman sees blood,
blood is blood.
It's totally tamei, right?
Oh, depends on the color.
No. Yeah. The color and whatever, where it's coming from. But if a woman sees blood from the womb, right? When a woman gives birth, mazal tov, it's wonderful. So when she gets here, like we'll see you about 6 weeks from now. You know what I'm saying? At the earliest. Why? Because we don't know the difference between dmei tahara and dam nida.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't know the difference, so we treat it all the same. And it's another, I just want to point out, it's another thing where the Torah is explicit. It's not like, you know, safek. It's not like a dirama. It's explicit that after 7 days, she's a nida for 7 days, and then after that, she's demei tahara. But nonetheless, for whatever reason, Where?
Oh, we have another 7 days.
Another what?
We get another 7 days.
And then we get, well, that's dam mida, okay? But that's dam zivav, okay? We're very, very machmir. This is interesting to point out to what degree we don't know these things. Even halachically, we don't understand these things. Ad kidei kach, to whatever degree. Yes, Rina.
I think Polsky talked about it as one of the negatives of being in galut, that we don't know. If I remember correctly, it's either in the Torah or the Shulchan Aruch that he said that it specifically said that it's because we're in galut, we can't differentiate between, because we're not as sensitive.
I totally agree.
Oh,
I mean, the idea obviously is going to be that when we return, and I want to get to all this because I think it's all interconnected. All of our not knowing, all of our not understanding is totally interconnected to this idea. And maybe I'll be uplifting at the end. We'll see. Okay. Let's go back to Vayom Hashemdi Yibo Basar Lato. Now we'll come to our very cool visual aid. If I were to ask you, which of these is more impressive? Okay? My beautiful whole wheat roll or my bundle of wheat? What would you tell me?
The roll.
The wheat.
Ah, I've got two answers. Why?
Miracle. We didn't create it. That's just happened.
Very good.
Well, we took the miracle and we elevated it.
Even better. Very nice. Okay. Very lovely. Okay. Why do I ask this? Because this is a very, very, very famous midrash that was stated by that's stated on this idea of Yom Hashemini Yimo Basar Lato. Midrash says the following: Sha'al Turnusrupus Arusha Rabbi Akiva. Some evil Roman guy named Tornus Rupus, okay? I don't know what his Roman name was. Asked Rabbi Akiva, Ilum asiv yoter na'im, shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu o shel Basar Badam. Remember, the Romans, like the gladiators, the human achievement, what's better, human achievement or God? Okay? Amar lei shel Basar Badam na'im yoter. Rabbi Akiva said something surprising. Rabbi Akiva, you would expect, Rabbi Akiva would say, God's works are greater. So Rabbi Akiva said, man's works are greater. Amar lei. So Tordes Rupus said to him, hey, Arei Shamayim Ha'aretz, what about the stars in the heavens? How do you do that? Yechol atah la'asot na'im mehem. Can you make something better than the stars in the heavens? Amar lei, lo tomar li b'davar shu l'mala min ha'briyot she'im sholkim alav. Let's not, I don't want to talk about, like, okay, stars in the heavens, I'll give you that. Let's talk about regular stuff. Okay? Eilu d'vem she'im mitziyim b'nei adam. What about things that human beings can do? So meaning, he says, I think that if you'd ask what, like, small things, what God can make and what we can make, I think human beings are better. Amar lei, so the Tornus Rupus said, Lama tem malim? Why do you, that's me, I think, right? Why do you circumcise your children? I'll have to call her back. Why do you circumcise your children?
To finish them in a way.
Meaning, what's Tornus Rupus really saying?
That if you're taking something God made and putting a human
improvement, perhaps. I.e., no. What is Tornus Rupus implying? You're taking this beautiful thing that God made.
You're ruining it.
You're defacing it. You're defiling it. Right? And this is a very big Greek argument also. You know what I'm saying? This idea of the perfection of the human body. But he's saying, you know, okay. Like, you know, if human beings are so great, if God is so great, why are you ruining it? Amar lei, he says, Afani yodea shal dvarim elu etashu'el. Right? He says, I knew you were going to ask that. And that's why I said human beings are better. Obviously, Rabbi Akiva believed that God's works are greater. I mean, God made the wheat from which we make the bread. We can't, no matter what you do, you still haven't been able to, you know, with all the genetic engineering and science of today, nobody has still figured out how to make the seed from which you could grow the wheat. Which is still pretty cool. I don't know, we never hang out with wheat. Nobody still figured that one out. Okay? So God is better, let's assume. But he said, I knew you were going to ask me that. So that's why I answered you what I answered you. Okay? So he says, that's why I said that human beings are better. Hevilo shibalim ugluskot. So Rabbi Akiva brought for him, right, wheat and bread. And I like that visual aid, and then, like, you know, we're educated. Okay? You could do this at home, by the way. Pick some wheat from your backyard and ask your children the same thing. It's a cool trick. Amarlo. He says, which are better? Which are better? The wheat or the bread? So Tornus Rupus said, one second, he says, Ela Shibalim, the wheat is what God did, and the bread is what man did. Okay. Don't you think the bread is better than the wheat? Why? For obvious reason. You can't do anything with the wheat. right? For us, the bread is better than the wheat, than the wheat, because we need it. You need the bread in order to survive. So what's the point if you just had wheat? Wouldn't mean anything. So Tuzrupa said, Amarlo, ho'il v'hu. Okay, if that's true, if God wants us to eventually have wheat, i.e., if God wants us to be circumcised, lama eno mahul mime'e imo, then why doesn't God just make us born circumcised? Very rare. Very, very rare. And even the kid who's born...
Moshe was.
Even the kid who... What? Totally?
Yeah.
Okay.
Both of them?
Freak me out. Okay.
Whoa,
what did they do? One second. On the eighth day, what did they do? Okay, on the, I don't know, on the whatever day. Right, they did it. Mamash, totally?
A
teeny bit at the cup. Okay. Amar lo, l'fi shelo, natan HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Yisrael ela l'tzaref. The reason why God gave us milah is l'tzaref. L'tzaref means to purify us. V'kach amar David, imrat Hashem tzrufa, the words of God are tzrufa, are purification. Magenhu, it is a shield l'chol achosim bo. Right? Why did God... Well, let's ask this question.
What's the shield?
The word of God. The word of God. Why did God give us milah? Why didn't God make us born that way? So the answer is because God didn't want us to be born that way. He wanted us to do it. Because through following the word of God, we purify ourselves. Which brings us another question. Right? A fundamental question. Why did God give us the wheat? I mean, this is the way you're used to it, right? It grows this way. Why do you grow this way?
And we say the bracha like that.
Hamotzi lachem min haaretz, correct. Right?
Yeah.
Correct. Would you ever wonder, why didn't it grow this way? Wouldn't life be better if it grew this way?
Easier.
It would be much easier.
Touch over your lip, and what if everybody just had,
The
all the Torah knowledge and didn't have a Yetzer Hara, and didn't you could expand that concept?
What would that be describing?
Gan Eden.
Gan Eden. Very good. Yeah. We come back to Gan Eden. That's exactly right.
It's true. They had everything they needed.
Ah, very good. And what else are you describing, according to the view of many? No. Gan Eden and? What? No. Gan Eden. Pass the shalom. Olam Haba, Yavod HaMashiach. Oh, we're not going to argue about this discussion. It could. Don't give me this right. I think people are too Maimonidean. It can't be Yavod HaMashiach. Yavod HaMashiach, there's no difference. Yavod HaMashiach according to the Ramban.
You guys can call it Olam
Haba. A big discussion.
Olam Haba
is. And Yavod HaMashiach. Yimod HaMashiach. Okay, and Yimod HaMashiach, what will happen?
There'll be
what? How are we going to survive Yimod HaMashiach? Right? It's all going
to
grow, the wheat will grow. And it seems strange to you, right? Why would it seem strange? To be honest with you, this is pretty nuts as it is. You know what I'm saying? I've got this lemon tree. I love looking at my lemon tree outside.
How did people figure out what to do with the seeds?
Somebody taught them. Right, it's a good question. Somebody must have told them. But I love looking at my lemon tree outside. Why? It's just so cool. You've got this tree, and how does this thinking tree know how to make these awesome lemons? You know what I mean? I find myself taken by my lemon tree. You know? And it's a ton of lemons. How does it, it makes a ton of lemons. And that's the brachot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the secret of creation in a way. The secret of Briah. It all goes back to Gan Eden. So it's so interesting when you look at many, many of the Parshanim and many, many of the Midrashim, they talk about the idea of going back to Gan Eden. Of this idea of understanding the idea of when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. One second. Also, who else was born Mahul, according to the Midrash?
Moshe.
Who else? One more person. Adam Arishon. Adam Arishon was born. It was a good guess. Right? Adam Arishon was also born without. What else was he born without? What was he born without that he somehow got later on? No. What? No, well, with his skin, okay. What was he born without? Yetzer hara. And you got it later on. We can all agree. You don't know how, but
when
we can all agree.
Later on.
What? Well, you're looking bitter. You're looking mad.
No, I'm disagreeing.
You're disagreeing.
What? Okay. What?
At what point did he get it?
When he aged from the Eitzah, da tovara.
You have a Yetzihara, you can't choose.
Yeah.
His Yetzihara was? His Yetzihara was?
External
to him.
Oh, like the snake.
Yeah, exactly. The Nachash. Okay. 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 So, and also, what also did Adam HaRishon not have to do?
Work.
Correct. Adam HaRishon, when he wanted to eat, what would he have? What did God tell him?
Eat.
Eat.
But he did have a job, huh?
Hashem did give him. La'avdal, whatever that meant.
But it was something.
Correct. Meaning that when God created the world, this, to get from this to this, wasn't an issue. Right? Adam HaRishon didn't need to grow wheat. He ate from the Pre-Hagan. His sustenance was provided for. Right? He also didn't have the need to purify himself. He didn't have the milah. He didn't have the wheat to make into the bread. And he didn't have the yetzer hara. All three things that all go together. This idea, you're trying to process it all. It's like, you know, this...
I'm just thinking, what was the point of the world?
Very good. Not to bask in the spirituality of God. I don't know. Okay. So, that being said, let's ask the question in another way. See, you take it for granted. What's the point of the world now?
To elevate everything around us.
Right, but what if you're already elevated? Well, not to elevate everything around you. What's the point of the world? Let's not rid. Look at the interesting word that Rabbi Akiva... Look at the interesting word that Rabbi Akiva used. Litzareif. What is litzareif? What is litzareif? What does the real word litzareif mean? What's the word mean literally?
It's like
from
with metals.
With metals. What do you do with metals? It's smelting. How do you purify metals?
Fire.
Right. You purify through destruction. Through terrible destruction. There's an interesting, I'm actually...
It's like what we're living through.
Very good. I'm in the middle of an Imam Banim Smeich, and he says that there's three types of geula, and the worst type, the most painful type of redemption is when God is mitzareif v'zahav. How do you purify metals or purify gold? You smelt it. What do? You burn off, literally, through the hottest possible fire, you burn off all the excess, all the impurities. And that's not a pleasant experience. So what are the mitzvot there? The mitzvot are there to be mitzareif. There's also another famous midrash, and I'm sure you're familiar with, I don't remember it verbatim, about the idea of what does it take to take this and make it into that? What do you do every time that you have to do? Right, so, right?
Destroy it.
Right. The first thing I need to do in order to do this is I gotta beat it. And it's a very difficult process, you should know. It's not simple, right? Threshing, anybody know how you do threshing? Now we do it all with machines. Yeah. Right. It's brutal. Right. It's incredible work. First, you have to, and if you think, you have to do it. You have to do it in quantity. So, anybody know how they would thresh? What's the threshing for? No. How would they get this? They would have to thresh it. They get it up. Hitting it is the worst way. It's the most labor intensive. They would throw it on the ground and have animals walk over it. Literally. What's that? Right, and then when you do that, and so like, there's a midrash about that somebody was, I think, showing that he was right. They were showing them, and they took the seeds. They had this great seeds and put it in the ground. What are you doing? You're just putting it in mud. Wait, okay. They grew, and what they do to the stalks? What do you do with these beautiful stalks? These beautiful wheat fields outside. I love running now because it's gorgeous. It's so beautiful. What did he do? Cut them down. What are you doing? Wait. Okay, you have this beautiful wheat. What do you do? You let the animals walk on it. What are you doing? What are you nuts? Wait.
And then okay. You throw the seeds in the wind.
Take the seeds, you throw them up in the wind. What are you doing? Wait. Yeah. You have these things? Then what do you do with the seeds when you finally have them?
You grind
them up into dirt, basically. What are you doing? Wait. Okay, you have this nice, beautiful powder. What do you do? Make it into mud. What are you doing? Just wait. Okay, you have these beautiful loaves, dough, lovely. What are you doing? Put in the... You're burning it! What are you doing? You know what I'm saying? Like, every single creative act is, by definition, a destructive act. There's something counterintuitive about that, and then you get this unbelievable bread. Mm-hmm. There's something counterintuitive about that. Why do we have to destroy in order to create? So what's the answer to that?
E equals
MC. What do you mean? To split an atom?
No.
Energy
like
equals
energy,
mass.
Created or destroyed, but there's a theory of...
relatively, a preservation of energy, whatever.
Right, so you can't, maybe you can't create without destroying. You've got this equilibrium of...
In this world.
You need one...
I don't know, I'm sorry, yeah.
We're not asking the scientific question, we're asking the metaphysical question. God created the world in such a way that in order to create, you have to destroy. In order to create this beautiful thing, you have to have tumah. You have to have blood. You have to have pain. Okay? But in what? What's the chet? So the Kliyakar says something. So he says, let me read the Or Chaim. How much time was? You don't know? Okay. So I'll read you that. It's interesting. Okay. So the Or Chaim says the midrash about the wheat is very nice. It's on a simplistic level for tuner's ruthless. That's a very simple thing. He says, but we have to go to the deep, to the depth of it. Okay. One thing. About lanu bnei el chai, yesh lanu laskil beburiyan shel devarim. We have to understand the depths of the matters. Okay. Gam b'haskil b'teva haragil b'olam, in normal nature, ko molid o mehaver davar. Okay, anyone who creates something. Let me see if I can do one second. Ech adam mahul yolid ben arel. How is it that a person who's circumcised makes a child who's not circumcised? So obviously we know that genetics, but wouldn't the thing that creates something that's like it? Okay, one second. Askilcha b'davar Elohim. I will tell you something about spirituality. Ki b'chinat ha'orla, hi b'chinat hara. The orla is the b'chinat hara, right? The negativity, the spiritual negativity. Ki ma'aseh ha'orla yagid al b'chinat ne'elamut, that which is hidden. Ki gol ha'guf ena nirtak le'nefesh, v'nirtak yodia ha'masha b'tocho. V'amar Hashem, God said, Ki Yisrael, kishimu molu ha'orla, when Bnei Yisrael, they circumcise themselves from the orla, hinehe mushalim b'chinat hara. They're trying to separate themselves from this b'chinat hara, which is symbolized by the orla. V'davar yadua, and is well known, ki b'riyat ha'adam harishon haita b'riyat tama b'chinat ha'kedosha. Adam harishon was created pure and totally holy. And for this reason, he did not have an orla. He was born mahul. Okay? The gam, and also, nimshach mizeh shlitat hatuma b'isha. This also relates to the tuma of the isha. V'hidam niduta. This is also the dam of nidut. Remember, In Gan Eden, Adam Arishon was born without a milah and without an orla, and the woman was supposed to do what? What was she supposed to do? No. What was the curse of the woman after she got kicked out of Gan Eden?
Pain.
Meaning, he says, the woman would have given birth without dam milah. In total purity.
So we still pay for it.
In this sin of Adam Arishon.
One second.
And so the land gives off, this sin did not just affect mankind, it affected the world. The world also now, it produces its produce, beklipot rabot. I'll give you the proof. A person can't benefit from the wheat. Ad asot ba malachot rabot. Till you've labored. Great labor. And he says, what's the curse of man? The curse of man is you will not benefit from the world until you work.
Labor to produce something, like whether it's a business idea, whether it's whatever,
Right. So we asked, what's the connection of Ubayom Hashemini Yemo Basar Orlato to the Tuma of the woman? So the Rechaim says it's very deep. It all goes back to this idea of original sin, as it were. I'm sorry, right? You know, but it's not very Christian. It's very Jewish. It's very Jewish. In Christianity, right, they believe that he bore the idea of Christianity is not that there was an original sin. The idea of Christianity is that...
No, the idea of original sin is that when everybody's born, the woman is impure because she's born that way. She's born with sin of Chava,
right,
kind of genetically in her.
Right.
She's a temptress. That's what they call the woman.
Right. So we don't believe that. We believe that all human beings, and men and women, are...
We don't discriminate.
We don't discriminate,
okay?
Right. It goes back to, by the way... Well, don't we believe that? That if Adam Arishon got kicked out of Gan Eden, right? If we had been... If we had stayed in Gan Eden, we would still be living this life where we'd be growing the wheat, growing the whatever. Motzi lechem min haaretz. Exactly right. As opposed to the wheat. Okay, so he says this was the depth of Rabbi Akiva's message. So to us, for us, it was very simple. But for us, the idea of us understanding is
Rabbi
that...
Rabbi Akiva was 40 when he started learning.
Yes, true. Very nice. This is all coming full circle. It's like really heavy stuff. You know what I'm saying? But this idea being that our job is to work through the pain of the klipot and to try to remove the klipot through our labor, because we don't live in that world of spirituality. We're born with the klipot. We're born with the orla. We're born with the sin. As a result of the chet of Adam HaRishon. So Kliyakar says something unbelievable.
There
he says...
a lot of things with Sakhane that sin. Like the Rehersh says that that's the whole concept of the
sweet. Are you?
I'm
sorry. I think actually I am also, which is why I think I get it when the wheat comes up. That's why I'm on...
Whatever they're spraying
the wheat with. Could be. See, so Kliyakar says, unbelievably, I have to see if I can find him one second.
Well, no, there's no spraying.
He says...
In the backyard.
It goes all over the place. Yeah. He says, why does it say, if you notice, it says, V'tahara, one second. He says... One second. Mendinat Votatima. One second. Here we go. V'tahara mimkor dameha. Yes, you can get rid of it. Okay. And you will be tahor mimkor dameha. What does mikor dameha mean? The source of her blood. What is the source of her blood? No, the original sin. Not hers. The mikor of her dam is chava. Is the original sin. That's the chata. Chatat. Meaning, the idea of the pain of the birth.
Woman.
What?
She's a very lucky woman. Everybody else is a child.
Yeah, I mean, we're all responsible in a sense.
Because if Adam said to her, "No, put that back," would she be crazy? What would have happened?
Oh, okay, blame Adam. Man,
no,
you know what I'm saying?
No, I'm saying
I don't think it is a man or woman thing. I think it is
the. That's what I'm saying. It's both of them. It's the way they dealt with the situation.
Correct. I don't look at it as a blame, but I look at it sort of as a result. So let's just find a couple more. So our job, in a sense, so we do all these things. We suffer through this, I think, this darkness for this very reason, right? Our job is to try to remove the klipot, as it were, the husks of the wheat, the shells of life, and to find the spirituality and the meaning within. And especially now, Rina, it's so powerful that you mentioned the idea that we're in galut. What is the idea of galut? The galut is the hiddenness, right? Adam HaRishon, he was exiled from Gan Eden, right? There is in the presence of God, right? In the Shekhinah, the idea of the Beit HaMikdash, when you're in the presence of God, and then there's when you're not in the presence of God. When you're in the presence of God, everything makes sense. You know, like I just imagine to myself, like when we're reading Tazria, when Moshe Rabbeinu gave them Tazria, they're like, oh, yeah, okay, that's that skin thing. Oh, okay, that's dumb this. Oh, right, it was obvious to them. But and when we read this, like I feel silly in a sense when I go to the shul and we're reading these things and it's like, whatever. You know what I mean? It just has no meaning to me at all. And I think that no meaning to me is important, because the lack of meaning is critical for us to feel. Instead of saying, oh, this is silly or this is whatever, I think we need to appreciate the fact that we have no idea what it's even talking about. We have no concept even of the description of what it's talking about. Meaning what? But we believe it to be true. There is tzaraat. It exists. It's something. God describes something. It's in the Torah. We just have no concept of what it is. The same way, we wake up on a Sunday morning and have no idea what's going on and are totally lost and have no concept of what's going on in the world. But we believe that there's truth to it, that there's meaning to it. And our goal is to get to the point where we're able to appreciate and understand why it is that the tzaraat is the way it is. What's the correlation between behavior and tzaraat? What's the correlation between godliness and the lack of godliness? Why the yoledet? And the goal also is to get back to the point where the loss of the yoledet is understood. Or I would say even more so, the goal is to get to the point where the yoledet doesn't have the dam nida, where there isn't a sense of sinfulness. Where we don't have that hester, we don't have that sense of loss. But to get to the point where the notion of bringing a child into the world is not a sense of loss or mistakenness or suffering. But it's to get back to where Adam and Chava were in the beginning. And you'll say, well, what's the point? That's what this world is all about. There's something more. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like we have so lost the ability to appreciate, to bask in the spirituality of God. We have lost it. We have no concept of what life is like. You know, I had this argument with the guys once about what is it like in Gan Eden. And they all said, like a bunch of them said, I wouldn't want to be in Gan Eden. Like, what's the point? You know, there clearly was a point. I mean, that's how God created man. But it's so lost on us that we wouldn't even want it. Why would we want it? Because we can't appreciate it. It's not even part of our human experience. Yeah, I mean, here the Jewish people were living in the Midbar. What were they eating? Think about the idea of the Jewish people in the Midbar. What were they eating? Man. What do they have in their midst? The Mishkan. They were offering korbanot. What was the purpose of the existence then? The idea was to bring that existence into Eretz Yisrael. Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we're saying we don't really want that. We don't want it because we don't understand it. We don't appreciate it. So, and I think...
The Torah that came out, the generation that came out of Mitzrayim didn't want to leave Mitzrayim.
Correct.
Like, there's always that...
That resistance.
The resistance that's not necessarily understanding... Looking at things in your own, in the context of your own time period and not necessarily looking up outside that world.
Correct. And I think that we are... It's definitely understandable. We're afraid of that which we have no knowledge. We're intimidated by that.
Somebody said that maybe 2 weeks ago about the difference between also living in Israel and not living in Israel.
I didn't want to get there. I wasn't going to say it, you know, like I always go there. But
no,
it's definitely true. It's like...
But it's the same thing that you speak to people in Australia who want to make Aliyah, but it's that resistance. Like, what if we come and it doesn't work, but we have to really struggle, like we're not really struggling here. Like, it's that resistance, I'm sure, like, that's how they felt in Australia. I don't know what I'm
going to
go to. It would be much harder than what I'm dealing with now.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I don't know.
There's people from Hapodim in Australia making Aliyah. Like, the Aliyah concept in Australia, like, if more and more speak to people, they just, Aliyah's on their mind. It's
yeah?
Not happened, yeah.
Good.
People from Hapodim have no connection to Judaism whatsoever, are wanting to be in Israel because that's where they want to be, for no reason.
Huh.
It's really bizarre.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
See, there, people don't want to struggle,
right.
And the we were saying before about people don't want Olam Habaz, or like, but I need my work, I need
I need my meaning, because what's meaningful?
What am I going to do if I'm not struggling?
Right, what do we do all day in the Yimot HaMashiach? You know, like, it's so far, I'm going to get a little morbid.
Yeah, but.
Like, I was thinking, I just, sitting in the Shiva house yesterday, like, I kept thinking about this woman with her little children. I don't know why I thought about her more than other people, but they said, like, she knew for a period of time, like, that she wasn't going to be cured. And how do you confront your own mortality, confront this thing of which you're petrified and afraid? Yeah. And we all know it, but we don't think it. We don't think about that. What? It's not imminent. We avoid it. We avoid it. I tried to think to myself, what would you rather have? Would you rather have a 40-year-old, you know, have a heart attack on a treadmill, and like you don't have to confront that? Or would you rather have the time to confront it and to deal with it and to be afraid of it? I don't really know. I don't want either. I'd rather neither. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And what?
Yeah.
None. Right. I'd rather not.
92 years old with dementia.
Well, you'd rather not that either. The end is never good. You know what I'm saying? And I think that we're all struggling with this, with these questions. You know, and
all right, don't depress Tammy.
I'm sorry. I don't depress Tammy.
And,
I think the answer is, and we're going to stop. I have to stop now, right? I'm done?
Yes.
I'm over. I'm sorry. The answer is to yearn for something greater. To understand that which we're missing. And to say, just as I don't understand Tazria, but I'm okay with that. I don't believe less. I believe that there's something beyond which, and when the Mashiach comes, we'll have a greater appreciation for all of these things. So too, in the world which we don't understand, the Klipot, the Rab, which we don't appreciate, well, we nonetheless navigate with that sense of faith and that sense of lack of understanding. But that's okay. It's our job to yearn for something greater. I just want to end up with one interesting point, right? What's one day where we remove all the klipot, all the work that we have to do between the wheat and the bread?
Yes, sir.
Shabbat. On Shabbat, all the melachot, all the melachot, no, but you can cook, you can make matzah, all the melachot that you have to do, meaning it's one of, think about how many melachot it takes, you're not allowed to do kotzer, like a lot of the melachot are about, literally about baking bread. You know, planting the wheat and hewing the wheat and watering and blah, 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 blah.
Making a fire.
A lot of it is about that. We remove ourselves from those melachot. Why? Because that's our one day to come a little closer to that Olam Haba. To say that we're closer to Hashem. And both through Mila and Shabbat, like, think about the idea of Mila. What's Mila? Mila is the idea of understanding and saying, I believe that this child that I just gave birth to came from God. And God told me to sanctify him, and God told me this is the way in which I'll improve myself, and our job is to improve mankind. So I'm sorry to be a downer today. I think we're all struggling with these things, and the struggle and the grappling with it. It's a healthy grappling, because we don't have answers. But the grappling with it hopefully will bring us closer to appreciating the faith that we're supposed to have. Stop here.